Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night, you're listening to Bad Company with Grey Eye Smith and Daniel Deschino. And tonight's show is based on carryovers from our last show, plus some carryovers from The Art of Sensual Seduction, and also some open poetry. So I'm going to bring Daniel on in just a minute. Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Gray. What's happening, my friend? How's life over there?
It's pretty good. Pretty toasty. Summertime.
Yeah. Yeah, we're at like 180% humidity or something ridiculous here in New England, but it's, you know, it's summertime. That's where we are. Hey, I actually got a question for you to start off the show. Where did you, because every time I hear that song, Bad Company, I forget, I remember how great that song is. Is that where you got did you get the name of the show from the song, or how did all that come about? I don't even know. I should know. I'm on the show. I should know.
Actually, yeah, the singer Paul Waters was moved into my neighborhood when I started the show, so I figured I was in some bad company, so why not go with Bad Company?
There you go. Excellent. I just discovered a band like 20 minutes ago, literally, while I was waiting for the show, called Scary Pockets. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They actually seem to be a complete mishmash of musicians. Like every song I found from them is different musicians, but they basically take cover songs and just funk them out, you know, make them funk songs. So anybody who likes that kind of, likes kind of funky, you know, R&B type music, check out Scary Pockets. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but I'm not joking. I just found them 20 minutes ago, and I'm right now in my new obsession.
Cool.
But,
well, tonight's show brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets, and we have anthologies available on amazon.com, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. All right, that said, where are we to, Daniel?
Yes, we are going to start off right now. Weaver wants to join, but she is having some audio issues, so Weaver, keep trying if you can. We miss you. We want you to join. So we have a carryover. We have some carryovers from a contest I had called, I forgot the name of the contest, called Castle Among the Trees, and if anybody's following along and looking, it's a picture of a castle in Wales. This is back in the early 90s, 1993, when I was over there for my honeymoon with my beautiful wife. And if you've ever been to Wales or England or Scotland or any of those places, it's pretty amazing compared to the United States, where you're driving around and you literally just see, like, castles in the middle of nowhere. These castles, you know, thousand-year-old castles, just kind of, you know, still there, just popping up in the middle of nowhere. It's pretty magical and amazing. So we had a lot of good poets from that. We're going to start off with one. These are all carryovers from last week for that. One by All Red J. And if you want to start off, that would be great. I'm going to post it right now.
All right, sounds good.
And there we go. It is posted.
So this is called Medieval Castle by All Red J. I weave through the bog of peasantry, traipse the serf's feudal bottoms. Here I see wenches bereft of light, where illness grips hacking throats. Now beyond the ditch of commoners, I ride this sticky, sodden lane. Through thickets weaves my nightly steed below a drizzled shroud. Breaks the timbered clearing. Suddenly, battlements appear in stately pomp, shrouded by a robe of mist. Garrison glares through waiting gray. How lies this terra firma, antonym, juxtaposed upon the acreage? How lies the squalor to my back, contrast with an aristocracy ahead? Helpless glance behind, I feel to lift the chattel, yet sense sometime fate will find a way, even if it lies across morality's moat, beyond the gatehouse of the grave. End poem.
Excellent, great.
Yeah, no.
That was a... Oh, sorry? Go ahead, Greg.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, excellent read. That was a tough read, and you did an awesome job.
Thank you.
So So.
Yeah, I like his play on words here. And, you know, he has a very distinct style to his language. And, I mean, breaks the amber, the timbered clearing, suddenly battlements appear in stately pomp, shrouded by a robe of mist. Garrison glares through weeping gray. I mean, that's just a talented write, for sure. And what are your thoughts on it, Daniel?
It was very interesting, absolutely. I really liked how Ulrich, in my opinion, took us back to the medieval times. I mean, even some of the wording, in my opinion, sounded like that, but he's just picturing back there. And, I mean, you know, the way the picture looks, it's just clouds with a castle and trees. I mean, that could have been what something looked like, you know, 1,000 years ago. So I thought that was great. One thing I want to say is there's a line, helpless glance behind, I feel to lift the chattel, yet since sometimes fate will find a way. I had no idea what chattel means. If Bobby was here, she probably would know. She was always much smarter. She always knew that, but I learn words all the time, and it says it is an item of property other than real estate. Very interesting. I had never heard that word before. I always learn words on this show. And just the opening of it, I weave through the bog of peasantry. The bog of peasantry is a really, really interesting. Trapeze, the serfs, feudal bottoms. Here I see wenches bereft of light, where illness grips hacking throats. Now beyond the ditch of commoners. So, you know, to me it can almost seem like you're noble and you're kind of looking down on this bog of peasantry. Seems really amazing. Like you just, you know, thinking so, you know, so ill of the, you know, the lower class that don't have the right, you know, genealogy, right? Very, very, very interesting. So real interesting look at, I think it's both you know, bringing us back to medieval times, but also, you know, looking at the class differences of which, you know, that's still going on today, obviously, right? But back then it was huge. Of, you know, people in these huge castles and then people living in complete poverty and you know, starvation. So there was, I think, even worse back in those days. Excellent. All right, cool.
Yeah, true enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have Nuno and Hope on, I believe, from all the way to the other side of the world there, I believe. Hope, I forget where Nuno is. Hope is in New Zealand, I believe.
Nuno is in Portugal.
Oh, where did you say Hope was?
Texas.
Oh, she is. Okay, why did I think they were in New Zealand? Okay, I'm all wrong then. So Portugal and Texas, there we go. Hey, Hope, hey, Nuno, thanks for joining. Let's see. So we have one of Ben's coming up next year. I'm going to post that. I'll give it a read. Hope, yes, Hope says I'm in the States. Excellent. All right. I got it all wrong, Hope. Sorry about that. Hey, we're all one world, you know. Doesn't matter where we are.
Yeah.
Texas girl, excellent. All right, this one's by Ben. So let me take a deep breath here. Read Ben's. This is called Little Nothings, Something So Ravenous. Yes. Arrive, embrace, man has come home again, harmed but disarmed, alive, awaited, and warmed by a forgotten friend. Two, faithless. A God who didn't believe in God, because he believes only what he loves. What cannot fail, what cannot be lorn, the architect at war with death that cannot keep up anymore, like something from a Lorna Shore song, which she reads to me as poetry, sand screaming through her eyes depicted deep, about a man who welcomed back from sleep, only to learn all he built for himself there, he had always belonged to only the dream. And if God is flawed, for God is us, at war, at last in love, would that cease the flood, to know he's drowning right alongside, just as inept as bereft of strength, in the flight to make it another midnight? Part three, forgotten friend. Armistice at the 11th hour. Edna, armistice at last. Tell me, Duxmoan stranger, have you come to still my heart? Have no fear of love. Do not fear death as I did. She is beautiful. For a destroyer, how can something so ravenous be so tender? The clarity unclear. One day I will see this world and myself in it and be thankful for the years. I sacrifice to search every corner of the dirt. Has been theirs to claim, but the sky is mine. Where fossils paint the unsteady shore that is empty and nothing more. Little nothings that only become something when we take the time to recognize their stories. And if by day the stars remained inverted, black as earth, would it hurt or be hurtless? Would anything we survive be worth it? Live up to their withstance or a different shade of blue? Something that came to bruise, someone that just couldn't lose. It could have been a good life if whichever way I looked, all there ever was you. Part 4, The Trap. Beauty is a weapon that scars and heals, one I cannot wield, nor withstand, nor feel. And love is a syndrome, a forest in the heart, kept in dark, rooted in pursuit of light. So shall sound another dawn of art. Over a world that is long gone. Part 5, We don't walk alone. We're not lonely, just more at home, in a place we don't know, and we don't need to be known. To grow, give us shadow. We're not here to hope, but to build monuments out there in the hollow. So not for every step into nothingness, there's just more to follow. End poem. Well, Ben, really, he's so interesting all the time to me because he just goes places that nobody else does when he has prompts. He takes his imagination just really kind of goes wild. You know, for a cliche term, but that's kind of what happens with me. And some of the things some of the metaphors he kind of uses for castles is the way I'm getting it here. You know, the trap. Beauty is a weapon that scars and heals when we cannot stand or feel, and love is a syndrome. You know, he's almost thinking, to me, it's almost like he's seeing that castle as like being locked in. And then beauty is the weapon to try to almost get inside of you, which is a really interesting way to think about it, if that's what he means, where, you know, we are kind of locked in these castles, and beauty is the one that kind of almost attacks us to open us up to, you know, to penetrate us, to get inside of us and almost conquer us, right? So that's really, really interesting. It was that part. It's always interesting scrolling through Ben's work. Yeah. So Faithless, you know, back in those days that when those castles were around, you know, religion was so huge. You know, we I hate to see religion going for the positive reasons that it can be. I mean, there's definitely some negative reasons to it, but I don't see a lot now. And he has some very interesting things here. A God who didn't believe in God because he believes in only what he loves, what cannot fail, what cannot be mourned. The architect at war with death that cannot keep up anymore. To me, that's almost talking about the king in that castle, a God who didn't believe in God. So somebody in the castle who's controlling and not, you know, not living by religious ways, which is a very, very interesting way to look at it because, you know, as much as... The ancient Egyptian kings saw themselves as gods. It had to be, you know, other kings and queens as well, too. I bet you thought the same thing. So, excellent, Ben. Interesting as always. Gray, what do you think? There's a lot going on here. What do you think?
Absolutely. There always is so much going on in his work. He's such a deep thinker, you know, and this really is a prime example of that. I mean, The Forgotten Friend. Armistice at the 11th hour, Edna, armistice at last. Tell me, dusk-lorn stranger, have you come to steal my heart? Have no fear of love, do not fear death, as I did. She is beautiful. For a destroyer, how can something so ravenous be so tender? You know, and it really is impactful in his presentation. I liked his numbering of his stanzas as well. We don't walk alone. We're not lonely, just more at home in a place we don't know. And we don't need to be known to grow. Give us shadow. We're not there to hope, but to build monuments out there in the hollow. So not for every step into nothingness. There's just more to follow. I mean, that's definitely thought-provoking and definitely surreal and imaginative for sure. Great job. Excellent read as well, Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. We will move on with the world here. Let me see. I already lost my place. Where are we? Here we are. This one is for you. This is by Leah Tonin. And I'm going to put this on here now. And Pam, Papa Terminus is on the board, and I saw Pam on there somewhere as well, too. So we got a party going on over here. All right, it is posted, and it's all for you, Gray.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so this is Leah Tonin, Path of Peace. The clouds drape their white blankets over the mountains and hills as if to warm the land with its cottony breath. The river shudder sighed, soon to release its heavy burden into the ocean's funnel mouth. Birds borrow shelves of air, dancing darlings against the sky. The river tangles its thirsty arm about salted waters, exposing her diamond belly. Amidst the beauty of misting lands, my eyes bedazzle, gathering peace into my lap. Shifting moments, grains in a glass, slips between fingers, elusive craft and poem. And I really like that. So this is for your magical places contest, and she really does craft a magical place in her right. You know, it's nature filled, it's beautiful with its imagery. And I really enjoyed the metaphors in it as well. So, great job. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yes, and for the magical places one, this is a different picture for those following along. And you can see the picture on the poem, just to describe it real quick. When I was driving through Wales, again, this is in 1993, this was just, we were just driving down. I just stopped at the side of the road, and I saw this. The scene, and we kind of stopped here for a little bit. My wife and I just hung around. I took a picture. This is back before digital, right? So it was like an actual camera. Didn't know how it was going to turn out until we went to Walgreens to, you know, put it in. But the whole country reminds me of Lord of the Rings, Tolkien. I know that's where you got it from. And if anybody's looking at the picture, straight ahead in the center by in the mountain, there's a tiny little black spot. That's actually a cave, a tunnel. It was actually abandoned train tracks that went into this kind of tunnel there. And one of my regrets in life, or possibly one of the best things I ever did, was not go into that tunnel. I really thought about, I really got to go see what's in that tunnel, and I might have never made it out because it was probably extremely dangerous. At the same token, I'm like, man, wouldn't it have been amazing to go explore this abandoned, you know, mine shaft, this tunnel in the middle of nowhere, Wales. Just wondering what was in there. But anyway, that is what that picture is. So thought I'd throw that out there. The poem was great. This actually won the gold. Oh, and before I talk about the poem, we have somebody at the door.
This is Pam Ray. Hello, Pam.
Well, hello there, Gray. And hello there, Dan. Good to hear you both.
You too.
Continue. Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely. Always great to hear you. Excellent. All right. We are very excited to have you on here. So, and I'll let you comment in a second here on this. So, yeah, this won the gold. I just thought the descriptions were just really, really, really beautiful, and it kind of captured, I think, the essence of the poem. The clouds draped in their white blankets over the mountain. The river tangles its thirsty arms about salted waters, exposing her diamond belly. I thought was really, really interesting. the river being thirsty is a way I've never really thought about that before, where the river itself is just kind of, you know, almost going through looking for water, but then exposing her diamond belly, which is like the rocks that are there, is also great too. Amidst the beauty of misting lands, my eyes bedazzled, gathering peace onto my lap. So being able to just be in this beautiful place, you know, I think this really encapsulates nature something that the world desperately needs now is more appreciation towards nature. And I just think, you know, the great descriptions and just the way that it can take you in and invoke all this descriptive imagination. And like it says here, you know, my eyes bedazzled, gathering peace onto my lap, where, you know, that's what the beauty of nature should be doing for you, is just making you feel good and calm. So, yeah, awesomely, congratulations on the gold, and thanks for the great poem. And Pam, did you, before we get to Greg, Pam, did you get to read the poem or hear it?
I did get to read it, yes, and I thought this was absolutely stunning. It was definitely a well-deserved gold. I love the imagery and metaphors of this and how she personified nature, especially as you were mentioning with the river. The river tangles its thirsty arms. But I have to say that my absolute favorite imagery and line was birds borrowed shelves of air dancing garlands against the sky. You could picture like birds like seagulls or hawks or eagles, you know, the kind that are prone to, like, you know, catching the wind and just soaring along with it, and how they kind of go up and down with the currents of the air. And I thought that was just absolutely beautiful. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. Thank you very much. Absolutely. And Hope says, oh, yeah, always go into unknown caves and tunnels. I'm like, yeah, I regret it, but, you know, probably in the, you know, middle of nowhere Wales with no cell phones and a foreign person, probably wouldn't have been the best decision. I wanted to make it out of my honeymoon alive. But anyway, Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, I already did. I gave them after I read.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. I forgot about that.
But okay.
All right, cool. So we'll move on. And before we do, there was a comment by Popper on the Huey Lewis in the News contest. And, yes, still looking for songs, wherever it goes. But still looking for poems, I mean, for that contest. So everybody should write for that. And I'm going to put one up for you, Pam. Find where we are here. All right, let's do this one here.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
So this is going to be by Swimmer7. And I'm posting it right now, and it is all for you.
All right. The Water's at the End of the World by Swimmer7. Back there in a second when towel met bearded face, a fabric smell conductor on a horse to a special place, near creek and stony edge, a place you call the Strand, where I watched you comb your long black hair and the sea back from the land. I'm running low, I'm running still from the law and from my sound. The man who fell can lodge in hell. He tried to put me in the ground. In February, you come to me dressed in moon and sky. In December, you're the winds that bid a frightened year goodbye. Sweet water lil, you're with me still, as much as pelt in winter's delve. The beaver gives me warmth and food midst the year's partitions 12. I found the earth's rhythm, it bonded in my core. I get to trace a human face each year at the general store. Once I thought I saw you there, of this I must confess, but my mind was stung by glare of sun. She wore your muslin dress. Sweet water lily, I'm being silly. The roof of hurt is done. There's work to do and hunting due. I don't rely on anyone. See the bullet in my arm is deep in shattered bone. So I guess I've got a friend for life, a pain best left alone. End poem.
Yeah. And I liked it. You know, it speaks to this Lil, you know, who's captured his imagination and carries with him throughout his life, and then he thought he saw her there. This I must confess, but my mind was stung by the glare of the sun. She wore your muslin dress. That's just beautiful imagery there, and the emotion's palpable. So excellent write and a beautiful read, Pam. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yes, it was very interesting in this woman Lil that he sees everywhere, right? Even in the waters at the end of the world. So I like that description. That's actually a really beautiful title. And you know, where was it? You know, I just read it. I lost it. Give me 1 second here. Oh, here we go. I found the Earth's rhythm. It bonded at my core. I get to trace a human face each year at the general store. Once I thought I saw you there, of this I must confess, but my mind was stung by the glare of the sun. She wore your Muslim dress. So he's seeing her everywhere as well, too. I don't know about the ending. It actually seems a little sad where see the bullet in my arm, a deep shattered bone. I guess I got a friend for life, but pain best left alone. The ending is a little sad, but I love that. So in the top, I'm going all over the place here, but near creek and stony edge, a place you call the Strand, where I watch you comb your long black hair and the sea back from the land, is really amazing. So it's almost like he's saying that this person, Lil, is almost the earth herself, but just the way that he describes that, like, she's kind of everything. So is she a love that he sees everywhere, or is she the earth herself that he's describing? You know, it's got those two, those two ways, at least I could see, that you could go, which is always great when poems can kind of take you to different places. So, excellent swimmer. This is really fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Pam, what are your thoughts? Hello, Pam.
Pam, you mutating?
I was, but it wasn't completely my fault. For some reason, my phone screen wasn't turning on. And so I couldn't even get to the mute button. But yes, that's exactly what I was doing. Oh, this is wonderful. You know, I love a good story, right, told in well-metered rhyme. This is great with its rhyme and flow, its ability to tell a story. And I like the repetition of the name Lil. And, you know, it speaks to me on the idea of having loved someone and lost them and trying desperately to escape their memory, but not being able to, knowing that no matter how far you go on the earth, no matter how much you try to occupy yourself with other things, you know, you're always going to have them in your mind. And the fact that he has in lines like from, you know, I'm running Lil, I'm running still from the law and from my sound. The man who fell can lodge in hell. He tried to put me in the ground. And then, you know, the end part too makes me think of the idea of somebody who purposely goes out of their way to live a dangerous life in order to forget the emotional pain. So, but wonderful, right, and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. In the group, Hope Soul says, it gives a strong image of how deeply he feels.
Absolutely.
All right, Daniel, what
Absolutely.
Do you have?
We have, I believe it is my turn. My memory is losing it. Decided that when is this? This is July now. I haven't taken a vacation day this year, including holidays or weekends. So I've decided my mind is literally, yeah, in my job, I actually work all the holidays. So like I work 4th of July and Memorial Day and all that. And most weekends I work too. So my mind is literally like Swiss cheese. Like I can't think anymore. I'm like, I've got to take time off and just vegetate for a while because I'm losing it. So sorry. So I believe it is my turn, right? I promise I'll pay attention.
Yeah.
But I'm losing it already. All right, thanks, Tim. So this one is Holy Place by Edenverse. And I'll put that up now. Yes, the two successes in life, I think, are to be proactive and sharpen the saw, which means actually take time to rest, and I'm not good at number two, and I need to do that. All right, this is Holy Place, Eden Verse. Foggy, misty, hazy hills, far and far from world of woe. In thy balmy silver rills, nymphs and fowls all sing and flow. Clouds and sun play hide and seek, they come and go in nature's show. O holy place, O eye of world, O void of friends, O void of foes. Which stones are lying in thy heart? O speak thou nature lake with mine. Are these the callous hands of time? Who steals, bearest this heart of thine? In dewy eyes when cuckoo sings, in magic grove by water lake, the heart it leaps in mirth and glee, then float with moon on silver lake. And poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Daniel. And I enjoyed it. You know, it had wonderful imagery and flow to it. It was almost lyrical in a way. You know, you could almost hear this song. Which stones are lying in thy heart? Oh, speak thou nature lake with mine. Are these callous hands of mine? Who steals therest this heart of mine? Thine. Yeah, beautiful, right? Excellent language in there. And I really enjoyed that penultimate stanza. In dewy eyes, in dewy eaves, when cuckoo sings in magic grove by water lake, thy heart, the heart, it leaps in mirth and glee, then float with the moon on silver lake. Just beautiful imagery on that. Excellent, right? And thank you for sharing. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. It's amazing imagery. I do have to agree with you, Gray. It definitely has a wonderful lyrical quality. I think especially in that second stanza, clouds and sun play hide and seek. They come and go in nature show, O holy place, O eye of the world, O void of friends, O void of foes. And I like how those O void of friends, O void of foes speaks of the idea of almost a neutral area where you don't worry about impressing people and you don't worry about making enemies. You're simply living in the moment. But what I especially like about this rite is how it speaks on the spiritual elements of nature. So wonderful rite and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you for sharing. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you guys, and, you know, it does have a very old-timey, and not even like, you know, old-timey 1800s. This has like a almost prehistory, you know, look to it, the picture. I always thought that, and I think that's kind of where she almost went, just this very old style, you know, and I do like the same thing Pam was saying there with the O holy place, O eye of worlds. Void of friends, void of foes. So it's just this kind of magical place that nobody knows about, nobody goes to, but, you know, that's why it's so holy. It's the eye of the world. There's no friends, there's no foes, there's nobody. It's just this kind of, you know, sacred place. That's what the true sacred places are, right? We always think of them as like a steeple or a church somewhere where a lot of people gather, but the sacred places are really the ones that nobody goes to that are that's what kind of makes them special, I guess. And that's, you know, that's how I got that as well, too. And then she has it, you know, again, it's kind of mystical. The nymphs and fowls all sing and flow. And you can almost kind of picture just the oneness of nature all together. You know, almost, I don't know, this is coming up, but almost like the, you know, Snow White, right? The Snow White movie when she's running around and everybody's singing together, you know, the oneness of nature. So, yeah, it was very beautiful and beautiful in its word choices. Just lovely to read. Thank you very much, Eden.
Great comment.
Okay, Pam. Yes. And Pam, I think it is you, unless I'm wrong. And if I am, please tell me. I have one here. You think it's you? All right, guy. I figured it was wrong. All right, I got the flow now. I got the flow.
All right. You got it all in control now? Because I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, no, it's me that's messing this up today. So, it's Gray's turn. And I have posted it there for you, Gray. So go for it.
Great. All right, so we have Bellido Gam, and it is called A Magical Space Between Here and There. A magical space between here and there, that rolling river runs, washing away despair. Sacred waters solemnly fly, rushing, gushing life water wends its way. A magical space between here and there, that rolling, 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 roiling river cuts the land beneath boughs and branches, grand and green. A magical space between here and there, that rolling, roiling river cuts the air, rising over rocks and rubble, a stony wall to water presents no trouble. A magical space between here and there, that rolling, roiling river runs. End poem. And I enjoy it. You can picture this river as it runs beneath the boughs, you know, cutting through rock and stone to make its way to where it's going. And they are sacred waters and healing waters for sure. I find water is the essence of life, quite honestly. And I thought it was a beautiful rite. Thank you for sharing. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I agree, and I kind of like the fact that there isn't a title. I can't help it. I always have to title things, but I'm always I think it's good because it's almost like you know, a place that is, that there is no way to describe it, so there's no title to it. It's just descriptions itself. And I agree. I think it's, you know, water places are magical. I mean, I've been reading lately that, you know, so many things about water that we're happier when we're near water, when we hear water, that people who live near water live happier, longer lives. Like, we're supposed to hear these things, and there's probably something to that. A magical space between here and there was very interesting to describe. It's not, you know, it's not anywhere that's descriptive. Maybe that's why there's no title. This is just this kind of, you know, interesting place. And she uses that. You know, she uses that throughout the Joseph. He uses that throughout this poem. A magical space between here and there. That rolling river cuts the land. A good use of the double rolling there, because it's just, you know, that's the base way to describe it. A magical space between here and there. The rolling river cuts the air. So cuts the land and cuts the air, which is very interesting. Because you do think about the rivers kind of cutting through the land, but not necessarily the air, which it also does as well too, right? Not only with just its physicality, but with the sound, you know, especially rivers like that. Like when you're, you know, anybody's ever walked through the woods and you're coming, you know, it can be very quiet, and in the distance you can hear kind of that river. You know, if you've ever done that, you hear it, and you hear it for a while, because it's like the only noise a lot of times. And then when you're there, it's the noise, right? You know, if we're outside in the city, there's planes and cars and people talking and all kinds of stuff, but that's the solemn noise. So it cuts right through the air. So yeah, it was beautiful. Great job. I did enjoy this one a lot.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you for sharing. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is wonderful. Beautifully written couplets. I like how it speaks on the beauty of the area and the magic within it. But really, I like is how it speaks on the power of the river, how with this a gentle rolling river, it cuts through the land, a magical space between here and there, that rolling river cuts the land. It really makes you think about the power of moving water and the way it can cut sharp edges or smooth stones, and the way it just transforms the environment around it. So absolutely wonderful write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Hope Soul in the group says, water is so powerful. She gives excellent examples of how water is strong, cleanses, and heals. So thank you for that, Hope.
Alrighty. we are moving on here, just like a stream. And this one, finally, Pam, this one's yours by Keith Drew. All those are the fake ones I kept telling you and took it away from you. This one's yours.
All right. I read this one earlier. Man, too bad Kate isn't here with her Scottish accent. Ah, sigh.
Yeah.
All right. This Freedom It, Heat by Keith M. Drew. The Scottish hills my heart fulfilled, the burns, the braes, the locks. My heart doth beat in the clear, clean air as I climb upon its rocks. A freedom found where no others, I am alone, this land, this place. Each morning I do breakfast for the truth I cannot face. Too many people wanting, too many wars they're fought. In Scotland I am free, this freedom it cannot be bought. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it really speaks to the peace that he finds in his homeland of Scotland. And, you know, my heart doth beat in the clear, clean air as I climb upon its rocks, a freedom found where no others. I am alone, this land, this place. You know, when you find that serenity, you know, you really want to hold on to it. So I thought it was beautiful. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
I agree with you on that, Gray. And this one, the silver, I thought it seemed very personal. And, you know, even though this was in Wales, it certainly could have been the Scottish hills, right? And it was great that he took this and Keith took this and actually felt that way and could kind of, you know, relate to it. And I really liked the, you know, each morning I do breakfast for the truth I cannot face. Too many people wanting, too many wars they're fought. In Scotland I am free. This freedom it cannot be bought. And it's not even, I think, the fact that Scotland is a free country, but it's the fact that there are places like that you can go and just get away from everything so you're not near any of this. You know, it's still very much a lot of wilderness in Scotland, a lot of open places. You know, there's places like that in every country. And I miss them greatly. I'm in the Boston, Massachusetts area. I'm right in the megapolis, you know, in suburbia. When I try to find places, like I go on nature walks, I can still hear cars, you know. I'm never usually that far away. I mean, the White Mountains are 2 hours away, so I can go up there, but unless I go in the off season, it's packed, right? So I do miss those places, and I know that feeling. So I thought, again, he had a very, very personal right and was able to, you know, really, really describe it from a feeling kind of soul way of how you feel when you're in these places. So excellent, Keith. Enjoyed it a lot.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Pam Ray, what did you think?
Oh, this is wonderful. It's another poem with great rhyme and flow, amazing imagery. I liked the touch of the Gaelic with, you know, and Burns, you know, like the tribute to Robert Burns and the Braes, the Locks, and using doth. You know, it offers up some of that old Gaelic charm. And I like how this speaks on finding a place that speaks to your spirit, gives you a sense of freedom. But there's also a kind of sense of sadness and darkness to it, especially in that couplet in the last stanza. I mean, even I have to wonder and think about each morning I do breakfast for the truth I cannot face. It seems to me that oftentimes someone who can't face the truth is probably having a good, like, tall glass of Scottish whiskey or something like that. You know, I mean, it might not be, but I don't know what else you'd have to eat for having breakfast. But you know, I don't know. I feel like there's almost this thought to me in the last part that speaks on wanting to escape the greed and the violence of the world. But excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
We have the last one for this contest, which I will give a read. If it is my turn and I can count to three, I've learned how to do that. So, yes, as soon as I know, I'm on the rhythm again. I know where we are. So I'm going to post this one here. And like I said, I'll give it a read. This is by Stephanie Glass. It's called It's Time. Oh, and this actually, by the way, was the bronze, so we got to hear the gold, silver, and bronze tonight. It's called It's Time. Fall is upon us, messages written on leaves. The nights become colder, and the sun's strength eases. Change is imminent, and transformation follows it. Futile it is to resist. Colors are here to persist. A fragment that surrenders at the sigh that bears stillness, as it sadly watches the falling of its dead and dry pieces. The bark starts to crack with the warm fire's hug. It might be time to allow old parts of us to go. And poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And I like it. You know, fall is upon us, messages written on leaves, the nights become colder, and the sun's strength eases. You know, when it's time, it's time. And, you know, the bark starts to crack with the warm fire's hug. It might be time to allow old parts of us to go. You know, shedding yourself in the seasons is a wonderful thought. So that was a great job. Well done. And, yeah, beautiful. And, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, this is stunning. And I like how it can be taken literally or metaphorically. Like, it can be literally about the season of autumn and you know, the changing atmosphere. But I feel like it's an extended metaphor for life and how going into the autumn and life of life and the way the body changes and, you know, the way our outlook on life changes. And we get those, like, dry, those lines and those aching parts that we want to trade in and see if we can get factory, you know, guarantee on them. You know, I really felt like, and I know she probably didn't, I don't know if she meant it this way, but because it made me think of aging and how we start to fall apart, end line, it might be time to allow old parts of us to go. It made me smile with the idea of, yeah, you know, certain parts do start getting old, but I think it's also metaphorical for letting go of those emotional burdens, you know, and making changes in our outlook on life. And I really like this all the way through, but especially change is imminent and transformation follows it. Futile it is to resist. Colors are here to persist. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Daniel, you read it. What are your thoughts? Hello, Daniel. Are you mutating?
I am mutating like I don't know what. Yes. I just evolved. But yes, I like this a lot. I really like it when people take... have different perspectives on the prompts. I think that's one of the magical things about art and you know, whether it's photography, drawings, music, anything, that you can, everybody can see different things. And this is great because she, you know, even though it's called Magical Places, she's seeing the magical place she's seeing is the seasons. And it's time falls upon us. And that is a magical thing. It's something we don't necessarily, you know, we're always in nature looking for all the fairies and all that stuff when we're in magical places already. Just the transformation of the world during the seasons itself is magical, something we take for granted, you know, sometimes. So I like that she went in that direction. Now, she, I believe, is from New Zealand. And so this is probably, you know, crazy... beautiful backdrops are right up her, right in her backyard, I'm sure, as well, too, which, again, I look out my window and I just see other buildings. So So I'm always jealous of people that have those beautiful backgrounds. But yeah, the way she talked about it, which the, you know, I'm gonna read the first lines from each one. A trick I got from Phil. Falls upon us, change is imminent. A fragment that surrenders, the bark starts to crack. And the bark starts to crack with a warm fire's hug is very interesting. It might be time to allow the old parts of us to go. So it's almost like she's at this place, and it's time to leave. It's time to go in. So I have to let this, you know, I'm in this beautiful scenery and everything, but it's fall. It's time to go. It's time to let it go. Time to move on. So it's very introspective in that way as well, too. It's not just even about the fall, but it's about us having to go inside and let the past go and now, you know, move on. So I thought it was very interesting. It had a lot of levels to it, and it was beautifully written. Thank you very much, Stephanie. All right. And with that, we are right in at 1 hour. And time to do some of our open poetry. And we are going to start with one of our friends on the board, Hope Soul. And I believe that's your turn, Gray.
Yeah.
I'm posting it right now. There you go.
Okay, so this is called Bodies of Work by Hope Soul. It was written an hour ago, so thank you for sharing this. I miss your poetry, the ones about me. Sweet milk foam lipped, tops a hot cup of coffee. Sprinkle Mexican cinnamon across fluffy white clouds of perfection. Not bought from a high-priced cafe, but made at home. While I wear a dark blue robe, a round dawn, hair wavy. Freshly pressed by large pillows, black cat-shaped lenses, slips off potato nose. I miss your poetry, spoke in my ear, as my head lay in between your forearms. As we made art round the clock, before breakfast, mid-afternoon, right at twilight. I'd be your muse, and you dipped your brush in oil paint, burnt umber, cadmium. Red light mix atop handheld mangoes, smear across peach fuzz, making me into your living art. I miss your poetry, the ones crafted just for me, secret coated cantaloupe, eloping with passion fruit, bumping clouds to heaven, pearls thrust in oysters, Jimmy Cricket slow dances in the rain-soaked streets, with pups who wag their pup tails, hidden language for only you and me. I miss our poetry, sweet words written in the halls of discord, the swoons blush worthy, turning green apples red. Open up your mouth, bleed out your raspberry-scented wine on this flesh of mine. 10 pages, then snuff out your ink in my well. Tattoo stanzas on bones where they can be hidden from window shoppers. I wish to roll around in fields of your beautiful open poetry and poem. And I really enjoyed that. You know, it speaks to the poetry of life and the relationship and sharing that together over a cup of hot coffee with sweet milk foam whipped and then sprinkling Mexican cinnamon across the fluffy white clouds of perfection. Not bought from a high-priced cafe, but made at home, where she wears a dark blue robe. Just a beautiful imagery, and you can feel the emotion tugging at your heart in this one. So a beautiful write, and thank you for sharing, Hope. Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, this is great. If she just wrote this an hour ago, amazing job. And I like the way that it is, I mean, to write this beautifully, and the way that it's, what I've seen Hope do before too, is she has this way of writing the words to make a picture, which I think is really beautiful. Not sure what the picture is, but I can just still see the curves are almost like just a flow to it, which relationships have, I like the idea of a Miss Your poetry. You know, it is true that when you have a relationship, it's everything can be poetry. We were talking about music on the show I do on Thursdays. I was talking with Faziana, and I said that one of my college professors had music as a class in college, and he had the definition of music as the combination of sound and silence. That's it. Nothing about notes, nothing about instruments, just the combination of sound and silence. I think they just opened it up for everything. And maybe the definition of poetry is expression. You know, maybe it's that simple. And your poetry, right, the poetry that you have with a person, with a relationship, like with my wife, you know, we have our own our own things that we do all the time that we kind of, you know we're doing, and that can be like poetry where nobody else understands the relationship we have, and nobody ever will. It's ours, you know, it's our poetry, it's our language. And so I like that, where it's like, I miss your poetry, the ones don't miss you, foam milk, top of hot coffee. So sprinkle Mexican cinnamon across fluffy white clouds of perfection. And I know there's a lot of, you know, probably personal things in here that we won't understand exactly what it means. And that's great. That's, again, the beauty of these relationships that you have with people, where there's nobody else that can ever understand it. It's because of the closeness that you have. So that's why I think the whole poem, Hope, if you're listening, and that's, it was really well done, very romantic, very beautiful. And I like Bodies of Work is a great title as well, too. Excellent, excellent job.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
This is beautiful. I really like the imagery and metaphors in this, and how it speaks on wanting to keep the romance alive, and how how it feels so good to be mentioned, to know that when somebody is writing those little secret codes or those metaphors, those nuances that nobody else gets, that is about your relationship and how much you mean to this person. And it's like flirting with each other through metaphors and through illusion. I really like, I'd be your muse and you dip your brush in oil paint, burnt umber, cadmium red, light, mix atop handheld mango, smear across peach fuzz, making me into your living art. Just wonderful lines all the way through, and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
Well, we are going to follow that with Nuno. So, Nuno, here we go right here. I'm going to put this down, and this is all for you, Pam. So, here we go.
All right. You've Been Spared by Nuno Cardoso. Oh, look at that. I get the shorty. All right. Very cool. All right. And here we go. Searching for pops in my tender years, pops used to say, son, spare me. Today, I'm an adult with a tender liver. So now pops says, son, spare yourself. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And I liked it. I mean, you know, it's sad and a bit morose, but, you know, it definitely says so much in so few lines. I mean, you know, you're searching for your pops in your tender years. Pops used to say to me, son, spare me. Now he says, pops says, son, spare yourself with your tender liver. So a fascinating write, and, you know, it sucks to be an alcoholic for sure. You know, you get that through this, right? So great job, Nuno, and thank you for sharing. Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, it's very touching, right, as well. And, you know, he writes down for the prompts, alcoholism, father, disappointment, attention, and family. And searching for pops in my tender years, and he would say, son, spare me. So not getting the attention, and maybe that could have been what caused, right, alcoholism. And now I don't know if it means that the father now cares, but, you know, relationships are very, very interesting like that. It's such a fragile thing, parental and child. You know, I was lucky. I had a very, my parents were amazing. You know, I had a great upbringing. You know, they had, my father had money, and they were all nice, and they were, you know, like the, you know, I had it pretty easy, I will say. But, you know, I still, my parents still messed me up, like everybody does. My poor son, we're messing him up somehow. I mean, I think we're good. He's turning out great, but, you know, you pick up good and bad habits. And things can be so, a little stupid thing that you don't think matters. It doesn't even cross your mind when you're saying it, can literally affect a child for the rest of their life. Like you don't, some things can be so traumatic that you think are just so easy. So somebody, you know, somebody just blowing off a kid saying, you know, just go away, I'm busy right now. You know, and then they don't even think second about it, can just traumatize a kid. But, you know, if they, for whatever reason, if they really need you and they just hit you. you know, and then to come back, you know, and now, you know, if that's where the alcoholism came from, and then the father now saying, you know, spare yourself, son. Again, I don't know if that's what it's for, but if that's what it's saying, where now he's saying, you know, trying to help the son take care of himself. You know, that can happen. People can change. A lot of people don't, unfortunately, but people can change and realize their mistakes in the future, even when they get older. And I hope that's what it is. I hope that he did figure it out. But it was great. I really like Nuno. Nuno writes very personal and usually has a lot packed into a short amount of words from what I've seen from him. So I enjoyed it and thought it was great.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is an excellent brevity with plenty of bite to it. I like how it speaks on the generational curse of addiction and how it can easily be passed from one generation to the next. I thought there was definitely plenty of food for thought in this, like even the use of the word spare, like, you know, like when it says, son, spare me, and then son, spare yourself, I felt like, You know, maybe the idea of, you know, spare me the lectures, or can you spare me some money so I can, you know, buy some alcohol, or, you know, could you, or maybe even, I kind of thought of it as a metaphor for the idea of spare parts that, you know, nobody has any use for. They're just those extra parts that serve no purpose. And, you know, it's the idea of how in just a few lines he went from the transition of someone who was searching for his father, whether that was literally or metaphorically, like looking for what he hoped his father to be, to realizing that he had become very similar, was just done in a really sharp manner. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you for sharing. And what do we have next, Daniel?
I read one by Ben Hart earlier, and I'm going to read another one by him. And this is one for the open poetry. Won two golds before, and it's called Take Me to Trouville. I'm assuming Trouville, I don't know if I pronounced it right, but Trouville, France. Places that we dreamt up as children when we were still young enough to run through hallways. Homes that were to be more than just buildings, but that will remember us always. You would sit in your lighthouse and sketch, trying to freeze the green, the tea green sea, to bring your winter still to its wretch, giving fishermen and fish a chance to flee. I would sit on the hill and wait while you drew, and once a day I would count the cracks in your keep. Every brick that rogued, you just paint them anew. But I painted my house every night when you'd sleep, hoping so you would elect to stay there, right where the seagulls could still see you. But the rest of the world nulled into nowhere, for everything was evergreen, and you could hardly see blue. I watched you paint the same landscape every day. You needed nothing more than Normandy. I never knew how you could do that. You, who could only see the bleak in the ballet, but would praise the day for its deformity. You didn't always keep your lighthouse lit, hoping a ship might perch itself atop your awning, telling me that in a heartbeat you would board it, to see exactly where the sun and sea would meet each other in the morning. Summers were warm enough to swim, but in winter you just went in anyway. I wondered why someone so warm would so eagerly greet the grim, but use a pseudonym, pray, and poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And what a fascinating write, you know. He has such a mind to him that's it's so deep, you know. He really puts thought into everything that he writes, and this is no different than any of his other previous poetry, where it's very thoughtful and in depth in his thoughts. And you didn't always keep your lighthouse lit, hoping a ship might perch itself atop your awning, telling me that in a heartbeat you would board it to see exactly where the sun and sea would meet each morning, each other in the morning. And fantastic imagery, and the emotions are palpable. So I thought it was beautiful, right? And a fantastic read, Daniel. Pam, what did you think?
This is a beautiful write. I really enjoyed the nostalgic feel of it, you know, especially with the opening lines, places that we dreamt up as children when we're still young enough to run through hallways, homes that were to be more than just buildings, you know, and the idea of the dreams that we have in our youth, and, you know, how sometimes they don't necessarily always go the way we want, but sometimes, you know, we get to share and keep those memories. And I also really like, I watched you paint the same landscape every day. You needed nothing more than Normandy. I never knew how you could do that. You who could only see the bleak in the ballet, but could praise the day for its deformity. You know, some people have that gift to find beauty within the darkness of life. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Daniel, you read it. What did you think?
I agree with both of you. Like you said, Ray, you know, he has a great imagination, a great way of expressing things. I'm guessing this is one of his older poems, though, because he's developed kind of a style, and this looks like it's before that, which is always interesting. Plus, a little shorter than a lot of Ben's. places we dreamt up as children. So he might be talking about his mother on this, because I don't see author's notes. Where almost like that's what I was kind of picturing. I was reading, and I almost see like a child kind of watching. You would sit in your lighthouse and sketch, trying to freeze. The tea green sea is really interesting description. To bring winter still, its wretch, giving fishermen a chance to flee. I would sit in the hill and wait while you drew, and once a day I would count the cracks in your keep. Every brick that I roughed, you just paint them anew. So I painted my house every night when you sleep. So, you know, there's almost a specific, you know, thing of somebody painting and kind of being obsessed with this location, but then also kind of painting over life and you know, painting things kind of new again, almost kind of keep changing. And at the end saying that this person would just leave right away. So it's almost like they weren't happy where they were, and they just kept painting over stuff to try to make it different than it was. I don't know if that's what it's a metaphor about. And then they, you know, that's what they're saying. They would also just leave. And the reason they would leave is just for adventure is just to go out to see where the sun and sea would meet each other in the morning. I just wanted to, I'm staring at that horizon all the time. I want to go see it. I want to see where that actually is. And then he says, I wonder why someone so warm would eagerly greet the grim, but use as a pseudonym to pray. So very interesting with that. There's definitely some some trouble or some deep thoughts or some sadness in here of the person that's painting, and he expresses it so well in this piece. So excellent, Ben. I'm very happy we got to read a couple of your stuff. And it looks like Dex is on the board as well, too. So hey, Dex. Oh, and he might be off the board and calling in. That's my guess.
Hello,
hey.
Area code 763. Is that you, Dexter?
Yep. Glad I could make it. Glad you guys would have me.
Absolutely. Well,
yeah. Of course, of course. Hey, we already opened the door. We got to let you in now, right? There you go.
Yep, there we go.
What? But, no, who let the troublemaker in? Geez. Isn't everybody guarding the door?
I know. Tell yeah, exactly.
We could all just quiet. And shut the lights. Be quiet. Don't. No,
yep.
But no, it's great.
Exactly.
No, awesome, Dick. So great to hear you. Hey, I love your show on Saturday night. I listened to it, by the way. Awesome
Thank
job.
Thank you very much.
I have to write to it one of these times. I'm sorry I didn't get to write to it last time. Did you get to hear Ben's poem?
I did, and you know what? This one is a very intriguing write by Ben, and you know, I kept thinking back and forth. I kept getting a feeling whether it was dad or mom, and then all of a sudden I got the feeling as if it was a childhood friend. To me, it almost gives the feeling of somebody that you've grown away from over time, that you were very close with. You know, you know, and it might be just the fact that for my student teaching, I'm teaching fourth grade right now, but it seems like my friends from fourth grade, man, we were so close, and all of a sudden, just over the course of time, you just start to grow away from each other, and it just, for whatever reason, it just seems like that just gave me the feeling of this right, and I don't know, it seems like a brilliant piece.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, I think the closest, I mean, I had close friends when I was a kid too, but the closest I really had was in college, my college band. We were brothers, you know, and when you're in a band with somebody, you get like that. And the last time I saw him before that, I haven't seen him for years. They're all in other bands. They're all doing whatever they're doing, but they're actually together. I'm the one that one of the ones that moved away. Two of them that's kind of stayed together. And when I went back, it just felt like almost like I didn't belong, like we had all grown so different. I was now this outsider that was just kind of, you know, there. And it was a strange, because I had always felt this closeness. And then you go back, you're just this guy that they used to know. And it's a weird feeling, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and whether I'm right or wrong, this feeling, this piece just overall, yeah, the feeling of, you know, places we dreamt of as a child, we were still young enough to run through the hallways. This just gave me a feeling of somebody that you were really close with in elementary school or something along those ways. I mean, college is another thing. But somebody that just had different vibes in you as you grew older, and then you just eventually broke apart from each other but still appreciate each other. So very well done.
Absolutely. All right, cool. So your punishment for coming on the show late is you have to read the next one. It's actually not a punishment. It's a really beautiful poem. So
perfect.
Let's put you on here. And it's by Joseph Moon, and it is up there. It is all yours, Dex.
Ooh, I love reading Joseph Moon. Visions of a Drunk Poet, number 6. All day I ponder o'er it, my existence. Then as a dark display of a deep essence, I dream it, my existence. Where did I come from? Where am I here? What am I supposed to be doing here? I have no idea. The answer is not clear. My spirit is from the vast universe. Of this I am sure, and I shall end up here. A character in such romantic verse, with bones, skin, and heart lighter than air. This drunkenness, this state of mind, began centuries ago in an Irish pub. The world, 'twas three whiskeys behind. My soul, the color of an ace of clubs. While I return to this merry place, I'll be sober and sadly sane. And I'll see the three wide-eyed, another wide eyes, another glance, grace, with nothing to lose and nothing to gain. However, now I am falcon from a forgotten forest. Stands a soldier, a shoulder up to perch. Stands a love song in search of the supreme metamorphosis. The humble writer that suffered grievous wrong. The day will come, I shall spread glorious wings, fly off. But who is it now in my ear? With melodious voice, promising beautiful things, whispering tenderly, dear thinker, thee are near. If I could taste just a sip of an answer, then I could escape the prison for depression and be captured in the arms of a dancer, wherein I tell the true confession. So before they come and take me away, I have seen the space where I love lorn lay. And amongst fragrant flowers, I hear an angelic voice say, how sweetly we'll sleep here together.
Wow, great read, Dexter. And I like the poem. It's number 6 in a series of his visions of a drunk poet. And what visions they are. This drunkenness, the state of mind, began centuries ago in an Irish pub. The world was three whiskeys behind. My soul, the color of the ace of club. And then also liked, however now I'm a falcon from a forgotten forest. Stands a shoulder to perch, stands a love song in search of a supreme metaphorist, the humble writer that suffered a grievous wrong. Yeah, fascinating, right? Deeply penned and well expressed. So great job, Joseph. Thank you for sharing. And Daniel, what did you think?
It's very beautiful. It's a great read, Dex. And yeah, he does have. He says, "Please ponder. Please enjoy my poem number 6." So, like you're saying, Gray, and I, so I'm really interested to read the other ones. I thought the rhyming was great. Like, he really had a great flow to it. It's hard to do that, and he does it well. The drunkenness part of it is interesting to me. You know, I'll have to read the other ones. It's hard to say what he's drunk on. He does say this drunkenness, this state of mind, began centuries ago in an Irish pub. The world was three whiskeys behind. My soul, the color of the ace of clubs. So I don't know if the drunkenness is the drunkenness of the poetry, the drunkenness of thought. It's interesting. That's the first thing I say. But again, I'll have to read the other poems. When I return to that merry place, I'll be sober and sadly sane, and I'll see the wide-eyes. I'll see with wide-eyes another grace, with nothing to lose, nothing to gain. So you know when you are, you know, sober and sane and actually and you know, thinking clearly, you know, that's what you do. You can see the world in a different way, right? However, now I'm a falcon from a forgotten forest, the humble writer that suffered a grievous wrong. So, yeah, it's interesting the way he's again, that's the way I'm taking it. I could be totally wrong, but that he's, the drunkenness is the thoughts that is kind of just changing him around, which you can almost do, right? You almost can get lost in it. I don't know if you're drunk, but when you're really thinking, I was doing it today when I was driving. I completely drove by the place that I was supposed to be going to because I just had these thoughts in my head and I just wasn't even paying attention to where I was. So I can kind of get that where you're lost in your thoughts. So very beautiful. And great, Joseph Moon. Excellent job.
And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, this is great. I like this, the title, and I like that he makes this into a series. It makes me think about the idea or the phrase barstool philosopher, and how oftentimes drunk people like to wax philosophic about love and life. But it puts to mind for me the idea of searching for that perfect love, searching for that perfect poetry, and marrying the two together. I especially like, however, now I am a falcon from a forgotten forest, stands a shoulder to perch, stands a love song in search of the supreme metaphorist, the humble writer that suffered grievous wrong. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Dexter, you read it. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write, and I thought that this had a lot to do with alcoholism running in our genes, and I felt like this is almost talking about, you know, your father's father and everybody along the line maybe being a drunkenness and becoming a state of mind for you, and how easy it is to sway into that direction. So I just feel like this is, you know, I think maybe even poetry and things like that, the art nature and things can be in our genes, but at the same time, there's a lot of proof that alcoholism and things like that also run in our genes. And so I just feel like this is something along the lines talking about what is in your lineage. So great, right, Joseph Moore?
That's an excellent point.
Great comment,
Dex. Absolutely.
And Hope Soul in the group says to me, it feels like the ones that push us to write, the ones that make us less than sane at times. Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Hope. Sorry, Daniel, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was interrupting you. You know, I was going to read Hope's comment, too. We're on the same wavelength there, so that was all. all right, cool. So we have one more for open poetry, and this is from Weaver, who was technically challenged today, trying to get on the... Oh, we have two? Okay. Hold on a second. Refresh here. Oh, and we got Dex's. All right, Dex, I would have had you read yours. I'm sorry. Let's do Weaver's, and then we'll do yours. No, I will read yours. So thanks for posting one, Dex. That's awesome. All right. And Nudo, you're welcome for all the comments. It was an excellent, interesting read. So we'll get to yours, like I said, Dex, after this. And if you want to read this one, Gray, this is by Weaver.
Sure. My pleasure. All right. So this is called The First Cut is the Deepest by Weaver of Dreams. Hell is not of this earth. We enter rips in space and time. Each dank, dismal, cold and clammy. There is a putrid, all-pervading odor, that of time standing still, decaying into slime and sorrow. Once there was a sun, a moon, stars, now only pain. Pitchforks, fear, and finality are your future. Left behind are the people that you hurt, the damage you did. Let me atone for my sins, you cry. No, is the answer. You are cruel in life, I'll be cruel in death. And boom. Well, amazing imagery, a dark right, you know, on suffering the consequences of your actions after death. And, you know, don't expect any forgiveness there. So a powerful right. Well done. Thank you, Weaver. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is very... very powerful, very emotional. I've been reading a lot of that from Weaver. She's great at doing that. And this looks like it won a silver in a contest it was in. Well deserved, excellent. Yeah, it is very interesting, you know. Let me atone for my sins. No. You were cruel in life, I'll be cruel in death. The first cousin deepest all I can think of is that, who's that singer? I'm spacing it right now. Anyway, somebody will know. But there's a song called that. And it is interesting. You know, forgiveness is a very interesting thing. You know, I pride myself on trying to forgive and be kind to as many people as I can, but there are some things I don't think I could ever forgive for. You know, if somebody hurt my family, if it's something like that, I don't think I could ever. You know, I've seen videos of people who were at the trial of their kid's murderer, like attacking the person, and I always thought that would be me. Like there's breaking points in some people. And there are some crimes that are just so damaging to another person that there is no forgiveness sometimes. That can be, human nature. And, you know, we all have our breaking points, right? Sheryl Crow, that's it. The First Cut is the Deepest is a Sheryl Crow song. So I just thinking of that with the title. But she portrayed it. You know, you can feel the anger. You can feel the resentment in this. It's the way she wrote it. But interesting that she used that font as well, too, with it, because it's a very beautiful font, but there's a lot of emotion behind it. So excellent job, Weaver. Enjoyed it a lot.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is an amazing dark right. Powerful, visceral imagery. I like how it speaks on the consequences of cruel actions that hurt other people. And I like how it makes that punishment something so horrific and so ugly. It's not only visually unappealing with its choice of imagery, but it makes you cringe because you can just imagine the stench and the pain, you know. So just an amazing glimpse into hell and eternal punishment, and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write. To me, it almost felt as if it was mythological or like almost Greek mythology because, in Greek mythology, there isn't a whole lot of in-between story. It's like right to the point, like this person screwed up or this person did that and they're banned forever. Like whatever it is, it seems like that's what this is. The first cut is the deepest. There isn't a whole lot of context to it, and I think that is, it definitely makes it great that this isn't a knock to it, but it almost feels like a mythological story because with everything, there's always a little bit of side to it, and with this poem, there's not. I thought that this was a great write because the first cut is the deepest. It felt like almost like I was reading a piece of ancient Greece or something like that. So very well done.
Great comment, Dex. Thank you. And where are we to next? Daniel?
I know you just read a few minutes ago, but we got yours up, Duke. So I'll be the last of our open poetry. I'm going to put this here. And there you go. It's posted. All yours, Dex.
Thank you. This was the first poem I ever wrote on here. This is called My Addition. My Addition. I can see you hate being lied to. See, I hurt you. I never tried to. When you see me trying to hide you, can't see that I'm actually trying to find you. Never see my pain on the surface. See, everything in my life is worthless. Only time I see you smile is after each purchase. But I can tell that you no longer see me as a person. climb the highest peak to see what I could see. It was just as dark and lonely as the bottom of the sea. So if you can see me trying to count, will you stop and help me, please? My stories never add up, because I forgot to add the C, my addiction. End poem.
Wonderful read, Dexter. And that's a powerful write. I mean, you know, the opening stanza really got me. My addiction. I can see you hate being lied to. See, I hurt you. I never try to. When you see me trying to hide you, can't see that I'm actually trying to find you. You know, that's very thought-provoking. And then, so I climbed to the highest peak to see what I could see. It was just dark and lonely as the bottom of the sea. So if you see me trying to count, will you stop and help with me, please? My stories never add up, because I forgot to add the sea, my addition. Yeah, excellent, right. Well done. Thank you, Dexter. And what did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, this is great, Juice, for your very first write on here. Pretty amazing. And, you know, addiction is such a crazy, horrible thing. And I think it's just brilliant that you how you do that, my addition and addiction, right? You didn't take the C out because, you know, that's one of the things when people are addicted, they don't believe they're addicted, right? Isn't that acceptance or, you know, realizing the addiction is the first step, right? So it's your addition instead. It's like part of you now. Well, this is me. I like drinking or whatever it is. So it's your addition, not your addiction. And then at the end, maybe that you finally realize, you know what, I am addicted. I need to kind of stop this. And you know, the way I was taking the C was really interesting too, because obviously it's C as different words, a C, you know, seeing and the C, and it's using it differently, but it's very generic, which you know, almost makes it like it's part of everything, which an addiction can be as well too. So, you know, to me, all those little things were woven into this poem is really interesting. Just this to me is what poetry is all about. It's about kind of playing with the rules and playing with the word choices. And I just love, it's very, very inspirational to me. To see you just play with the word, taking that C out to make it a different word and then using it throughout the poem was pretty brilliant, to be honest. So, excellent, Duke. Excellent.
Thank you, Dan. Great comment. Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, wow. This is clever. And it's really cool, Dexter, to see the first write that you did on all poetry. That's awesome. But I like the wordplay in this and, you know, with using C over and over again, which, of course, until you got to the end and really wrapped things up in a neat little bow, had my mind going all over the place. First, I was singing in my head, C is for cookie, and that's good enough for me. And then I was thinking, well, maybe C is what the first letter of an ex-girlfriend's name, or maybe it stands for some bad word that I'm not allowed to say on an early show. and thank goodness Dexter writes poetry for dummies, because I got to the end, you wrapped it up in that neat little bow, and it was like, I get it now. It's all about addiction and the denial of the problem, as Daniel was saying, and taking out the C. And I like how this personifies the addiction, makes it something you're in a relationship with. And when you say, you know, I hurt you, I never tried to, when you see me trying to hide you, you know, and the hiding you're doing is you're trying to hide the addiction from family and friends because it's a sense of pain and embarrassment. But quite a clever write and very well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it was like that moment where you realize that all of my stories and everything are, everything's falling apart. But the piece that I'm failing to add into this is I'm addicted to this. So everything is falling apart. So I'm just keeping this addition to the story out of it. And so it was like, once you realize that, once you realize all your stuff doesn't, you know, things don't add up to other people, but you're failing to mention that you're addicted to something. It just makes sense. So thank you all.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I'm glad, Pam, you said that. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, what if C means like Caroline or
yeah.
Carol or something? I was thinking the exact same thing. And then I'm like, in the end.
Caroline.
Yeah, exactly. And then, because I wasn't reading, I wasn't trying to read ahead, I was just reading along. And then when you got to the end, I was like, oh, yeah, there you go. That makes sense. How did I not see that before? See, no pun intended. How did I not see that before? So, yeah, so you got me, Dex, with that one. So, but
Thank you.
It was very clever.
Daniel, I sent you a private message, just so you know.
Okay, absolutely. All right, cool. So... we, let me just check my messages here real quick. Well, I'm telling you, when you want to refresh, you can't. All right, so what we're going to do here is we're going to go to our other guest star here, Pam, and you have a SoundCloud, Pam. I believe I'm going to post this one here for you. And that, actually, you said when it's addicted, it's always everyone else's problem. It's true. Everybody else's fault. You're absolutely true with that one. All right, Pam. So I think we have a SoundCloud, so we're going to listen to Pam's.
Yeah, I will play that now.
Shattered clay in a midnight striptease. I am the siren song, the midnight striptease. I am the sultry storm of daggered kisses. My curves moving like a serpent towards prey. I'm ready to serve creme de la creme, candied cherries dripping divinely upon a devil's tail. Come, lick me and flick me. I don't need commitment, just carnal knowledge that drives me crazy. I don't need a teacher, 'cause I know what I like, though honey, I'm always open to some new moves. So groove your sweet self closer to cocktails of bourbon and silk. I'm hot and slick. I can pull tricks on a swing or a desk. I can stroke the smoke from your pyre. Who wants safe when safe is so damn boring? I want the kind of action that bruises lips against the wall pressed, sins confessed. Knock the lamp on the floor, keep on going above shattered pieces of clay. Some boots are made for walking. Mine are made to grip your ribs and control the thrust. Full throttle, no time to coddle. I want to slip the tip where moans and groans escape through open windows, bearing the grit between our lips. I don't want to be so quiet. Let the neighbors hear our nasty talk. They might learn a thing or two by our use of verbs and nouns, begging to be released in the heretic's howl. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Pam. And holy cow, on the right, very schemy and erotic. I mean, I don't need a teacher because I know what I like. Though, honey, I'm always open to some new moves. So groove your sweet self closer to cocktails of bourbon and silk. I'm hot and slick. I can pull tricks on a swing or a desk. Woo-hoo. Beautiful, right, Pam? Very
candlelight.
Erotic, for sure. Well done. Thank you, Pam. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, geez, Pam, that was a hot one. I mean, it's already like 90 degrees in my house, and now I'm sweating even more. That was very, very sensual, and I like the end, begging to release in a heretic's howl. I really like that. Like you just completely lost, you know, losing control of yourself and just letting everything go. don't care. Let the neighbors hear. So yeah, this is really, really great, and won a bronze, it looks like, in a contest as well too. So yeah, it was very, very beautiful and sensual and well done.
Thank you. And I do have to admit, I am actually blushing right now. So I'm glad nobody's
hey, you, you, you wrote it and read it, so that's your fault. There you go.
Yeah,
it was blush worthy. That definitely, that's for sure.
Thank you.
And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know what, I love this piece, Pam, and you know, I think that Pam, me and you are so much alike sometimes that this was a little out of your comfort zone, I can tell, but you did such a killer job. You know, I want the kind of action that bruises, lives, against the wall, press, sins confessed. Knock the lamp on the floor, keep on going above shattered pieces of clay. You know, I feel like you stepped out of your zone, and you love reading. You know, you're a part of the sensual show. You love reading it all the time, but you really stepped into the zone on this one as a writer. And I really enjoyed it. I thought that this was fantastic. And so I thought, I just really wanted to say I appreciate you, Pam, for doing this one.
Well, thank you very much.
And Pam, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Oh, just a shout out to Stelina, who ran the contest with the George Michael song prompts, and that inspired me. And I think it's a pretty straightforward write on what it's about. So, you know, not a whole lot else to say.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sorry, I think Dex. Yeah, I'm gonna post this next one, but before that, Dex posted, "Dear Lord Pam," and I think that just sums up the whole thing right there. That's the comment right there for that one. So this is I just posted the same one again. Hold on here, I got it. We're gonna do Unrestrained. That's really interesting. Hold on, I have to re-go into it again. Sorry about this, guys. 1 second here. All right, there it is. We're going to do Unrestrained is the next one, and there's a SoundCloud with that one, I believe, by Me Bella. And here we go. I've just posted it.
All righty. Here we go.
Unrestrained by Me Bella. Is the effect that you gave shattered walls around me. That one confusing night, you dove into my complications head first with no hesitation, allowing yourself to feel enraptured by my flaws, by my wounds and scars, which you have bandaged with your moist blushes, embracing my painful pride. And you knew that I was labeled as a poison, yet you'd still kiss my lips over and over. And it wasn't my intention to taste your flesh, to crave for your gentle breath. Yet I began to melt in uncontrollable elation at a touch, desiring you more and more. Day and night, adoring eye, night and day. I guess the hell in you embraces the demon I have unleashed in our modern to intrigue.
Wow, beautiful read. And you can feel the passion in her right. Her last Latin phrase was "In amorem tuo inconcedo," I fall in love with you, which is definitely felt throughout the rite. The more that you read it, the deeper you fall in love with this rite. But allowing yourself to feel enraptured by my flaws, my wounds, my scars, which you have bandaged with your moist blushes, embracing my painful pride, and you knew that I was labeled as poison, yet you'd still kiss my lips over and over. Yeah, you know, when somebody loves you for who you are, that's just a beautiful thing. So, great cheer, Nibella, and thank you. Daniel, what did you think?
It was very beautiful. I'd never heard her speak before either, and I love her. I love her voice. I thought it was interesting, the beginning part. So the effect that you gave shattered the walls around me, that one confusing night. And it's just kind of like, you know, maybe you weren't expecting or shouldn't be with this person, but you are. You couldn't help yourself. It kind of breaks down those walls, and you're confused. What am I, you know, why am I falling for this person? You dove into my complications. It was interesting, too, head first with no hesitation, allowing yourself to feel enraptured by my flaws, my wounds, my scars. You have bandaged with moist blushes. So, you know, maybe she's feeling those bad things about her. Maybe it's somebody like, why would this person like me? But they are. They're still enraptured. And you know, you might be, maybe she's self-conscious about whatever, you know, flaws that she has, but this person is breaking those down and getting her to feel comfortable and letting her loose, so she's confused, you know, by the situation. So it's that kind of almost like youth-like, you know, you can almost see like, you know, it's almost like a first time type of thing. But it was interesting how, you know, I'm curious on the person, if it's somebody that shouldn't be with her, or somebody she maybe doesn't think she, you know, would be with her, but is seeing through the flaws that she sees to still be with her. You know, it wasn't my intention to taste your flesh, yet I began to melt uncontrollably. So maybe that makes me think more. It's like somebody that she shouldn't be with, but I guess the hell in you embraces the demon I have unleashed. which is really, really interesting. Just great, descriptive, beautiful, and sensual, and but like I said, very, very interesting. This is one I'd want to read again and really think about. So excellent job, Nibella.
Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. And Pam Ray, what did you think?
Oh, this is beautiful. You know, Bella has such a wonderful reading voice, and she's such a talented poetess. And I like how this speaks on somebody who has a past, who has their doubts about whether or not they deserve true love. And they find somebody who accepts and embraces them for who they are. And it's that idea of love that allows you to heal, that allows you to be yourself. And the idea of finding a passionate love that breaks down walls. And I really like this all the way through, but especially the ending, and especially you have, by my flaws, by my wounds and scars, which you have bandaged with your moist blushes, embracing my painful pride, and you knew that I was labeled as a poison, but yet you'd still kiss my lips. And sorry, I didn't mean to say end poem about there. I don't know why I did that, but oh well. But wonderful write by me, Bella, and just very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Oh yeah, I love Bella's write, and you know, me and her got a collab out there somewhere. It's been a long time. I haven't talked to Bella in so long, but I love to hear from her. You know, this gives the feeling of a toxic relationship. But them toxic relationships are almost unfortunately the hottest, you know. And so, you know, you labeled me as a poison, yet you still kiss my lips. You know, neither of you should be doing what you're doing, but you're still involved in it. So, and it's still perfect and right in motion. So very well done, Bella. Amazing, right? Miss you.
Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. All right, Daniel, where are we to next?
All right, I think what time we got? It's almost 11:55. I think we can squeeze in one more. And I'm going to post it here. Oh, Rosie. Rosie's here. Look at that timing. Perfect timing, Rosie, because guess what? We're going to read yours. So I'll give it a read. I believe it's my turn. It's by Rosie called Iconic. Just imagine that dreamy scent of vanilla with jasmine. She's incredibly seductive with her brown, sun-kissed skin. So warm, addictive, sweet, and spicy. She greeted you with a smile. Ah, so nicely. Red dress, plump lips, and some ruby gloss. Walking down the street, she's the real boss. Blended with gourmand notes of salted caramel, your curiosity. Prepare to want more. Oh, Jezebel. Compliments, because she's incredibly delicious. That woman knows it all. She is ambitious. While she dances, you can see those sparks of joy. Her rounded curves invite you to, oh boy. Losing your mind because she's a real treasure. Loving her would be the best gift, a pleasure. End poem.
Great read, Daniel. And I liked it. You know, it's sensual, seductive. She really paints this incredible picture of this woman who seduces with her hips and curves and her sun-kissed skin. So you paint a beautiful picture, Rosie. Thank you so much for sharing. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is a wonderful sensual write. I like how it speaks on admiration or attraction to a woman who's strong and powerful and very much on the naughty side. Red dress, plump lips, and some ruby gloss. Walking down the street, she's the real boss. Blended with gourmand notes of salted caramel, your curiosity, prepare to want more, old Jezebel. Great lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, I got the feeling that this was a very sensual right, but at the same time, not a very sexual right. She's iconic. You know, she's got vanilla. She's got the brown, the spicy, the ruby, the caramel. I get this feeling of this girl is walking down the streets, almost like the streets in New York, and you just, all you can do is snap pictures of her and just look in awe. She just looks fantastic. I thought that this was a great write.
Thank you, Dexter. Great comment. And Daniel, you read it. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree with Dex on that. I mean, this is a very descriptive poem, and it's just that, you know, that woman who is just, you know, the iconic, idealized of beauty that's walking down. That, you know, everybody, men and women, are just, you know, staring. And I'm not saying they're necessarily all attractive, but they catch your eye, and you have to look because, you know, whether it's for sensuality or just the beauty of a woman that you're just seeing. And, you know, red dress, plump lips, and ruby gloss walking down the street, she's the boss. So she's not only just natural beauty, but she's dressed. She's trying to, you know, show that she is, you know, the ideal of beauty. And, you know, that happens sometimes when people are walking down the street. You'll see some, you know, people that are kind of attractive, whatever, but then there's this, what, it could be the one person. It could be it could be a really good-looking guy as well, too, or it could be a girl that just stands out, you know, as this, you know, the Helen of Troy among everybody else, right? The Jezebel, the person that's just gonna, you know, that makes you look. Losing your mind because she's a real treasure. Loving her would be the best gift, a pleasure. It's so warm, addictive, sweet, and spicy. She greeted you with a smile, aw, so nicely. You know that, and that I like that line a lot because it's that line when somebody that is attractive, that, you know, you're looking at them and they just smile at you. It's like, can almost make your day. Like, wow, this person's not, you know, I got caught looking and she's actually, you know, give me a smile. She's not upset about it. So I thought that was kind of interesting as well too. Cause I thought Rosie gave this person, this woman a personality of a strong, confident woman, but also a nice woman as well too. So, you know, not only is it descriptive, but it's descriptive in the personality. You can picture this person. So that was, great. And with that said, we are right at 11:59, so perfect timing. If you want to take us out, Gray, but before you do, I just want to thank everybody for joining. It was a great show. And, yeah, Gray, take us out.
Yep, I would like to stay the same. Thank you, Daniel, Pam.
Going in.
Very hard to mind your voices. Daniel, for your wonderful co-hosting, and Nuno and Rosie and Hope on the board. Thank you for hanging out. Much appreciated. And much love to Phil. Thank you for all you do. Good night, everybody.